It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at CARM.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers, taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Welcome to the show, everybody. Matt Slick Live. I am your host, Matt Slick, and I hope you're going to have a good day listening and a good time. We'll see what the Lord has in store for us. If you want to give me a call, all you're going to do is dial 877-207-2276. And if you want to support us, we always like to have that because we do need to pay for the radio show. So if you want to support us, just go to the web. Go to carm.org, carm.org. On the right-hand side, you'll find the opportunity there to donate and help us out. We'd love that. There's a CARM wish list underneath there, too. If you want to, you know, help us in more of a physical way, getting something, we do have definite needs at the office. That would be great. And let's see, tonight. Thursday night. I'll be doing Apologetics Live, and if you're interested in, participating, asking questions, doing a little bit of debate or whatever it might be, all you got to do is go to apologeticslive.com. And it'll direct you to a page on the CARM website. What we do here for the newbies is answer questions about theology, cults, religious systems, atheism, logic, evolution, UFOs even sometimes. We get into all kinds of conversations. And we'll try and answer things from a biblical perspective. If that sounds good to you, then stay tuned. If you like being challenged by the Word of God, stay tuned. And I guarantee I'll say something you don't agree with. That's what happens. All right. Why don't we just jump right on the lines, and let's get to Dave from Texas. Hey, Dave. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you. Mm-hmm. How are you doing?
Doing all right. A little tired today, but that happens. Hanging in there. What do you got, man?
Okay. I have a question about Calvinism and elect and non-elect.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay. Is the elect, are they, like, predestined? Were they elect before they were born?
Yes.
Okay. So, this is a question. And if God knows who the elect are before they're born,
mm-hmm.
and here's my question.
Mm-hmm.
If the elect are already saved,
they're not saved. The elect are not already saved. They're chosen to become regenerate and saved by God's predestining work. And that's Ephesians 1, 4, and 5. Just as he chose us, and some say elected us, before the foundation of the world, that we'd be holy and blameless before him in love, he predestined us to adoption. So election and predestination go hand in hand. They're right there in the scriptures. But go ahead.
Okay, so they're not saved.
The elect are not saved. You can have people who are elect who are not born. But because God ordains whatsoever shall come to pass, Ephesians 1:11, he has chosen us, and we are chosen from, get this, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. That's Ephesians 1:4. Before the foundation of the world, he's chosen his people. What criteria that is, we don't know. But that's what the Bible says. That's why I believe it, because that's what it says.
Okay, I'm kind of confused with that because I was wondering if they were elect, or yes, and like you said, they weren't already saved. Or once they're born, if they're elect, are they saved then?
No. You could have an elect person from 2000. Well, before the foundation of the world, and a lot of people don't understand God's majesty, His greatness. Now, what Paul the Apostle is telling us is that before the world was even made, he chose us. That's what it says. Now, that'll blow a lot of people's minds, but that's what it says. And I can get into federal headship and some other issues, but don't have to for now. And so what he does is he predestines the ones he's chosen for salvation. That's what the Bible says. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world that we'd be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ. Now, some people say what that means is he knew who was going to choose him, so therefore he chose them before the foundation of the world. And that's favoritism, and it violates James 2:2-4. It's a heresy. People don't know it's a heresy, but that's what they teach, and it is a heresy. So you could have, when Jesus was on the cross, there are people who are elect, And, you know, so I'm born 2,000 years later. Maybe you're born, whatever. If you're, I don't know if you're Christian or not. And so the person could be, you know, anybody born 10 years ago or 20 years ago or 30 years ago. What could be elect, but not yet saved. And then at a certain time in his life, he will infallibly come to the faith because God will ordain that. He believes and he's justified, and then he's saved. Okay?
Okay, okay. Is there anybody that is elect that will not be saved?
No.
Okay. So my question for you is this. If the elect will be saved no matter what, what is the point of Jesus? Who's Jesus trying to save if they're already saved?
They're not already saved. They're
You just said they were already saved.
I did not say they were already saved. I said they're elect. So, and they could be elect. They are elect from the foundation of the world. Their person is born, and he's not saved. He's not in a state of salvation. But I said God will infallibly bring him or her to a place of faith, and then at that point they become justified, they become saved.
Okay, so are you saying that some elect will not be saved?
All elect will be saved because God does not make any mistakes.
Okay, that's kind of my question I'm getting to. If the elect are going to be saved no matter what, who did Jesus come to save?
The elect.
Well, they're already saved.
No, they're not already saved. Salvation is a state of being in relationship to God. But if you don't exist yet, if someone doesn't even exist yet, when Jesus was on the cross, for example, I didn't exist. People today did not exist, right? But yet, they're elect. People are elect. You understand that?
Kind of.
He elected them. He chose them before the foundation of the world. Do you know what that means?
Yes, I understand what that means.
So he chose people before the foundation of the world, and he predestined them.
So that's what I'm having a problem with. If they're already predestined to be saved, then who did Jesus come to save? They are already saved. Who were the people that Jesus came to save?
Let me say this for the fifth time. They're Okay, remember this. They are not already saved. They're not already saved. I keep saying that, and then you keep saying, but they're already saved. And I keep saying that's not the position.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay, okay. Is there any other way to get into heaven other than being saved?
No.
Okay. You've kind of answered my question.
I don't know if I did, because I think you're not getting it. Look, This is the biblical position. A lot of people don't like it, but I'm forced to believe it because that's what it says. He chose us in him. The he is God. He chose us in him. In him is Christ. It has to do with federal headship. Christ represented his people. And you go to Romans 6:8, it says we died with Christ. Romans 6:6 says we were crucified with Christ. So how could we be crucified with Christ when we didn't even exist when he was crucified? But yet it says we were crucified with him. We died with him. That's what it says in Romans chapter 6. So how is that possible? Let me explain this. How is it possible for us to be chosen when we didn't exist, and to die with Christ when we didn't exist, and to be crucified with Christ when we did not exist?
I have no idea.
Well, I do. I can tell you how it works. Because God has ordained who shall exist. Now, this is heavier theology, and a lot of people are going to reject this, but I have to tell you the truth. God ordains whatsoever shall come to pass. Ephesians 1:11, he works all things after the counsel of his will. All things means all things. God has ordained whatsoever shall come about in the universe, whether it's good or bad. The ordination does not mean, let me explain, the ordination does not mean direct causation, but it can also include permission, the permissibility of people to rebel against him. All people are depraved and born sinful and are by nature children of wrath, Ephesians 2:3. All people are by nature slaves of sin, Romans 6:14 through 20. All people do not seek for God and are dead, and they can't come to him. That's 1 Corinthians 2:14, Romans 3:10, 11, and 12. And so he chose us, knowing whom he was going to create and all the things about creation. He chose people before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless. That's what he did. That's what the Bible says, Ephesians 1:4. And he predestined us, as it says, to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ. This predestination and election can only happen in Christ. What that means is no salvation is possible without Jesus. No election to salvation is possible without the fact that Christ will come and bear the sins of his people. So God, before the foundation of the world, chose people to be saved, and then predestined those people to be saved, works things in the world to bring them to that place of believing in him. It even says he grants that they believe, Philippians 1:29. He grants them repentance, 2 Timothy 2:25. He causes them to be born again, 1 Peter 1:3. And they're born again not of their own will, John 1:13. That's what it says. And it says, as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed, Acts 13:48, because God appointed them. This is what the Bible says. A lot of people don't like this.
Okay.
So when a person is born, he could be elect. But he doesn't. Let's say he doesn't get saved till he's 50. That means he's elect, but he's not yet saved until he goes through the act of believing at the age of 50. And then he is saved. And the reason he does is because he's been chosen from the foundation of the world.
Oh, okay. I hope you won't hang up on me here.
No, not at all. No problem.
No, I mean, you hung up on me last week and the 5 times before that, too.
Well, maybe. So maybe you deserved it. I'm pretty patient with a lot of people, so. But go ahead.
I'm trying to be patient, too.
That's
all
right.
I haven't interrupted or anything.
Well, what do you got? Come on.
So everything, let me just go from what we did last week. You brought up, we were talking about wars. Do you remember? And you said, and I looked on your webpage.
Are you the one about the Chinese, the China thing?
Yes, but yes.
Okay, are you done asking about Calvinism? Are you done asking about Calvinism?
No. You're
an atheist, right?
I'll finish my one question about. Yes.
You're an atheist.
I'll finish my one question. Yes.
Wait, hold on.
I'm an atheist.
Hold on. Yes, okay. So I'm just curious. Yeah. Why? How come you want to know about Calvinism as an atheist? I'm just curious.
Oh, because there's something that didn't make sense to me, and you kind of muddled that out for me, so I can kind
muddled.
Of think that through.
All right. I didn't muddle it out.
Sorry.
What I did was explain what the scriptures teach.
I'm saying, yes, you gave me something to think about. Let's put it that way, okay? It's a different way for me looking at it. You did that.
Well, think about it logically. Think about it logically. God knows all things, then nothing that occurs is outside of his knowledge, correct?
You're right. Now, here's my next question about Calvinism, and everything is done for the glory of God.
Yeah.
So, if abortion is done for the glory of God,
Hold on. You've got to understand something. You know, atheists do this a lot. They will quote one thing and then misapply something else. So you've got to understand that all things are done for the glory of God. That's the design that God wants, that we as Christians are to do all things for the glory of God. As an atheist, you can't. You're incapable of doing that. Hold on. Get a break coming up. Be right back, folks, after these messages. We'll get back with the atheist. We'll talk about the glory of God. We'll have atheists. We'll be interested. Stay tuned.
Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, folks, welcome back to the show. All right, Dave, are you still there?
Yes, I am. Thanks, Matt.
Okay, go ahead, Pastor.
It was about the wars. I looked at your webpage and looked at your thing on the wars that were caused by religion and that were caused by, I guess, non-religion. I think...
Yeah,
I don't know where you got all the information. I think they left some things out. But basically, I'll just give you two. I've got.
Okay, well, hold on a second. Hold on. Do you have a question? I'm not interested in you citing war. What's your question?
The question is, was Manifest Destiny a religious thing? The Americans
I have no
getting
idea
rid of the American.
I have no idea what you're talking
manifest
about.
Manifest destiny. It meant that God ordained the Americans to take the land away from the American Indians. That was manifest destiny.
When you say ordained, do you understand what ordination means in a biblical context, in a theological context?
Maybe not ordained. How about destined? Actually, it's called manifest.
Do you understand what destined means in a biblical context?
Yes. I understand what it means in a biblical context.
What does it mean?
That it means that they were that's what they were ordained to do.
What is it? Okay. What does it mean to be ordained?
It was preordained. It means it was predestined for them to do it.
What does it mean to be predestined?
It means it was already thought out beforehand. It was planned out beforehand.
You might want to do a little bit of theological study on this particular issue. The atheists very often stumble at this point. So let me help you. Ordination means, it's a little bit broader concept. All things, every single thing, from good to bad, is ordained by God. However, within God's ordination, there's a variety of sub-understandings of it. In one way, God can directly cause something to be. In another way, he can allow something to be. So he can allow bad people to do bad things. But even the allowing is ordained because nothing occurs in the world unless it's by God's permission. So you can have people who do bad things and God permits them to do it. It's called his permissive will. So he doesn't want someone to murder somebody else, but it in his permissive will, he allows them to do that. But the allowance of that is within his ordination, because he certainly can stop anything he wants. So why then does he allow things like this to occur? Because it's his will to allow things to occur that are good and bad. And then we get into topics related to that. Why is that? There's different issues there.
But they claimed it was a just war theory. Is there a just war theory?
Yes, there's just war. And just war is one of the main ones is self-defense. We have the right of self-defense.
And that's what they were saying was manifest destiny.
I don't know. I'm not an expert on all this. I like to tell you that biblically, a just war, there's different aspects of what is defined as just war, but the two main I'm aware of is the protection of the innocent as well as the right of self-defense. That's it. I don't know what the issue is with history and the United States and wars and Indians and how things went. I don't know all of it, so I can't respond to it. I'm not a historian.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying.
So what's your question? One more question.
I guess I don't really have another question other than you told me to look it up, and I did. I was wondering, okay, do you have any views on the Ireland war between the Protestants and the Catholics?
Was that
a religious war?
It's a religious war, but it's not biblical. They shouldn't be fighting each other. They shouldn't be doing that.
Why didn't y'all count that?
I didn't write the article. I did not write the article.
Okay, because they missed about 50.
Can you hold on a second? Hold on.
Yeah.
If you read the article, you know that it was a summation out of the book, what was it? The Encyclopedia of Wars, which chronicled 1,763 wars that have been waged over the course of human history. So you would have to go into that book and see if it was included in there. Okay? All right?
Okay. Well, I'm just saying.
We need to move along because if you want to argue with me about this, come on Thursday night. We can have a better discussion about it. But for now, you're not really, you're not really asking any questions.
I can ask you about Calvinism again if you would like. I have more questions about Calvinism.
Well, why don't you? Okay, tell you what. Ask me one more question about Calvinism, and then we'll get on the next caller. Okay.
We can go back to the abortion thing.
Yeah.
Why do Christians fight God's will? If God wills abortion, why do Christians fight it? That is illogical.
Who says it's God's will? You mean God wants them to be killed? That's what he hopes and that's what he desires? Is that what you think that Christianity teaches?
No. You said everything's for the glory of God. Abortion is for the glory of God.
What we're going to do. We're going to do this. We're going to hang up on the guy. I'm going to explain something. This is, folks, believe it or not, this is very much what atheists will do. And the reason I'm just progressing on, I'm going to talk about this, is because I've done this hundreds of times with atheists, and they get very difficult, and they start twisting things, and the issue is they want to accuse God. And in order for me to be able to deal with them, what I have to do is start getting into logic and talk about logical issues, and then the issue of logical errors and equivocation, and it gets deep. And so I don't want to bore the audience with stuff like that. We have a time on Thursdays where we go into those kind of things, and I'll cite certain things, and it goes on for 2 hours. So what he doesn't understand, as I said before the break, the glory of God is attributed to the Christians. And we are to do all things for the glory of God. And we're created for the glory of God, Isaiah 43:7. There is a sense even in which evil can lead to the glory of God. And the sense, the main sense that that is possible is in the sense by showing that it is evil to begin with. Yet at the same time, God permits it to occur. So what an atheist will do is take something like that and say, oh, so killing people and aborting people is for the glory of God? God wants that for his glory? And you see how they twist things. And that's what he's doing. And this is a disingenuous attempt by atheists to twist facts and misrepresent them. It's not for the glory of God that such evil occurs. But we know that God can use such evil for his glory by condemning those who do such things and by saving those who are thus aborted. But God permits the wicked to perform such acts. And even that is a demonstration of his grace to them, which ultimately is glory to him. And so on the day of judgment, when all people are held accountable for their acts of violence, of lying, of adultery, of fornication, of pornography, of all the evils that people have done, and they have tried to get away with them or think they'll get away with them, then they will bow to the majesty and the glory of God and profess and confess that God is worthy of honor and true adoration and praise and worship, and they will be condemned, and they will even acknowledge that I believe this, that they will acknowledge the rightness of God's judgment upon them, and that will even be to their glory. So it's not that God wants to be glorified by someone's killing. That's not the issue. It's a misrepresentation of what he and many atheists like him do. And we correct them all the time, but they come back. They don't learn. Hey, folks, you got 4 open lines? Give me a call, 877-207-2276. Be right back after these messages.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Everybody, welcome to the show. Hey, if you want to give me a call, we have 4 open lines. Give me a call, 877-207-2276. All right, let's get to Charlie from Charlotte, North Carolina. Charlie, welcome to the show.
Hey, Matt, how you doing? I called you last night, and we talked, I don't know if you remember, we talked about the temple and whether that was figurative and you know, the human body, or whether it was a physical. And I agree with you that it's physical.
Depends on which context, but
so
you know.
Right. And so what I wanted to know is, you've probably heard this before too. You know, when it talks about, I forget what it is, what verse it is in Revelation, but you know, you have the scarlet, you know, lady riding the beast, the woman riding the beast, and that woman is a church, a beast is a government in the Bible. And, you know, decked with gold and the, you know, golden cup. And I know how you feel about, you know, the Catholic Church, and I feel the same way as you. But is the Antichrist going to be an actual person, or
yes,
will it be like a government system, or will it be Catholic or Islam? And when the Antichrist, if he is a physical
person...
Well,
hold on. Person, okay, let me answer that question. Let me answer that question.
Okay.
Yes, the Antichrist is going to be a physical actualization of physical person. A lot of Christians, or let's just say a lot of people might, or have lately I've been reading, say it's going to be a governmental system. And I don't see that as being the case. And the reason is because what the Bible says, let no one in any way deceive you, for it will not come unless the apostasy comes first and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction. It says it's a man. In Daniel 7:8-21, while I was contemplating the horns, behold, another horn, a little horn, came up among them, and three of the first horns were pulled out by the roots before it. And behold, this horn possessed eyes like the eyes of a man and a mouth uttering great boasts. I kept looking, and the horn was waging war with the saints and overpowering them. That's a prophecy about the end times. And furthermore, in Zechariah 11:17, woe to the worthless shepherd who leaves the flock. A sword will be on his arm and his right eye. His arm will be totally withered, and his right eye will be blind. And so most people think this has to do with the Antichrist. And finally, read a couple more verses here. Revelation 13:2-3, and the beast, that's the Antichrist, which I saw was like a leopard. His feet were like those of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his throne and his great authority. And I saw one of his heads as if it had been slain, and his fatal wound was healed. And the whole earth was amazed and followed after the beast. So it looks like the Antichrist is going to fit this. And so it's not just a governmental system, though. There have been a lot of antichrist governmental systems out there, socialistic as well as communistic. Okay.
So obviously, Matt, the Jews will think that this antichrist is their savior when he sits in the temple. What about Islam? What do you think their what is their theory on him going to be?
Well, they're looking for the 12th Imam. Yeah, they're looking for
right.
the Antichrist.
So is that going to be theirs, or where
yeah,
is that going to be
yeah.
their 12th Iman?
Right.
Okay.
They're looking for the Antichrist. They don't know it's the Antichrist. But my studies with people who've known Islam very, very well have said that the things that they're looking for fit the biblical Antichrist. So I've not done a study on that to confirm that, but I've had some reliable people tell me that this is the case. And then there's some new theory that the Antichrist will be Muslim or come out of Islamic stuff. Because it makes sense. I'm not saying it's correct, but we're just talking about ideas. It would make sense mm-hmm. because Islam is very intolerant. And if a Muslim leader comes out, other people are more tolerant in Islam than Muslims are by far. So I could see it working that way, and that they would go, yeah, we could live with that as long as he's fair, as long as he's balanced and things like that. And so... but the Muslims generally said no, no, no. And they want victory, domination, and all that kind of stuff. They're very intolerant because of their religion. But so it may be that he's going to be
well,
a Muslim or come out of the Middle East.
Well, Matt, like the beast gives the power to the Antichrist, and the beast is a government system in the Bible, correct?
So, that's one of the that is one of the theories. And there's some debates about what the beast is in relation to the Antichrist and some other stuff. I did some studies on this a while back, within the past 6 months, I think it was. And the beast, false prophet, and the Antichrist. And some say the beast is the Antichrist, and sometimes it seems that the word beast is used to replace the word Antichrist. But it also seems that the beast is different than the Antichrist in other places. There seems to be an unholy trinity. So some people have said, just like I said, that the beast is a governmental system. Maybe it is, maybe it's not. I don't have to tell you on this because I don't know for sure. I can only quote the different yeah. theories.
Yeah, I know. My opinion on it is I think it's actually both. I think something's going to happen, you know, with World War III. And, you know, just again, this is just my theory where everything is going to become so bad. And then, you know, obviously he's going to come into power, which, you know, the Bible says and everything. But I think he'll also be given his power, you know, through a government. You know, and one
it's
thing
gonna
I
have to be
say, Matt,
there
I
has think. To be governmental support, but in 2 Thessalonians 2 it talks about it has to be church support also, and so the church is going apostate. There has to be an apostasy because the spirit of the Antichrist can't succeed unless the church goes apostate, and it's occurring now. You know, as an example, what I taught earlier on the radio show about election predestination, I know that a lot of Christians just absolutely deny that, even though it's directly taught in Scripture, and I quote the references, and people will still reject it, and they reinterpret stuff. This is a sign of apostasy, Not only that, but self-deification of man, God or Jesus Christ died to sanctify our ego trip, as Robert Schuller said, or that God always wants us healthy and wealthy, and therefore we can name it and claim it and stand in the place of God to direct what needs to be in our own lives. There are various forms of apostasy that are alive and well in the church, including the idea that it's completely up to the individual choice of the sinfully enslaved, unregenerate person, and that salvation rests in his hands and his wisdom. And this is another form of apostasy that's in the Christian church. The Roman Catholic Church is already apostate, as is the Eastern Orthodox, because of their works righteousness and Mariolatry and other things that they do. And Protestantism, which rebelled out of that, protested, hence Protestants protested against the doctrinal atrocities of the Roman Catholic Church. But what's happening now is more and more Protestants are starting to court that great false church, the Antichrist Church of the Roman Catholic Church. And this is another form of apostasy that's there. So it's going to happen. The Antichrist will then be allowed to come in, and who knows who he will be, but he'll probably be homosexual. I know that's not making people happy. He'll probably have a head wound, and blind in right eye and the right arm, and maybe falsely resurrected, and people are going to follow after him. And then those of us who are elect, who know the truth, if we're still around, will be persecuted. And notice it says, and they were beheaded. Well, which religion practices beheading? It's Islam. So if Islam is in control because of their Antichrist, who knows? I mean, I'm just throwing things out. We don't know.
Right,
I don't know
right,
how it's going to
right,
be.
Right, right, right.
But there's a lot of theories like
well,
this.
Look at Pope Francis right now trying to get mm-hmm. all the Protestants and the Islam and the one world government and mm-hmm. all that. And, you know, that's the Catholic Church. The one last thing, Matt, and I'll let you get on to
you
another
know what?
Call.
Do you know what? I got to find this. Catholic, listen, you can find the quote really fast. Because this is what the Catholic Catechism says. Check this out. This is Catechism, paragraph 841. The Church's relationship with the Muslims. This is just incredible to me they say this. The plan of salvation also includes those who acknowledge the Creator in the first place, among whom are Muslims. These, now check this out, these profess to hold the faith of Abraham. Together with us, they adore the one merciful God. So the Catholic Catechism is saying that Muslims and the Catholics adore the one true God. What? What are you getting this?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and a lot of people don't know this also, but, Our Lady of Fatima was the daughter of Muhammad. And there's a crescent moon on the mitre, the hat of the Pope's hat. And they're actually pursuing Islam, and there's a picture running around of which pope it was kissing the Quran. I would never kiss the Quran.
Right. Well, ever. He walks around with the sun symbol too, so
yes.
He holds that staff. An old Egyptian. I'm with you on all that, Matt. The one last question I have for you, though, when you talk about mm-hmm. the wound and the head being healed, yeah. and the beast being healed, yeah. and living again, I'm just telling you, and I'm sure you've heard this theory before. A lot of people think and don't quote
there's
me
a break.
I'm
hold on
here, but I think,
hold on, man.
Okay,
we got a break coming up, so be right back after these messages, folks. Please stay tuned.
Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, buddy, welcome back to the show. All right, Charlie, last segment, so what do you got?
Yeah. No, I was just going to say, a lot of people think that deadly wound with the beast and all that and revived back is going to be, you probably heard this, and I don't agree with this, but the Roman Catholic Church being revived, I think it was, don't quote me, when... Day,
well, it would make sense.
Napoleon.
It would, in a sense, it would.
Conquered.
Yeah, because it's spiritually dead. Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And when I say this, I got to let people know, because then we can move on to the next caller. Okay, man. Hey, Charlie, let me just hang up on you, because we've got three callers waiting, and I'm going to make a comment, and we're going to keep
going. No problem.
All right, buddy? All right.
Man. Thank you, Matt.
Good stuff. Keep calling back, buddy. All right. Just before we get to the next caller, let me tell you, I speak of the Roman Catholic Church. Look, I was never a Catholic. No Catholic beat me up. It's nothing like that. It's simply I've studied Catholicism for a good 10, 15 years now, and it is really bad. Becoming gods, Islam, and that the Catholics serve the true God together. I mean, things like this, adding works to salvation, Mariolatry, it's just, people just don't know how bad it is. And it's a theological issue. So I'm not saying Catholics can't be Christians. Sure, they can be. But what I do say is anyone who believes official Roman Catholic theology cannot be a true Christian. Because official Roman Catholic theology is Antichrist. And it really is. And I'll defend that. I say publicly all the time, and I defend it, because that is the case. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to be sensationalistic. It's just simply an issue of truth, and I have to speak the truth, okay? Jeff from Raleigh, North Carolina. How are you, Jeff?
I'm good. How are you doing, Matt?
Doing all right. Hanging in there, man. What do you got, buddy?
I'm just amazed at how many meanings the word world means in the book of John. Can you give me some reference on what it means in the book of John?
Oh, the word world?
World.
Well, it depends on the context. And so, let me see. The word world there is, let's see, grid. I think I've done a study on this. Grid charts. Let me get to it. Church grid. And I did, yes, here it is. So I did an analysis on the words cosmos and oikoumene. And these are the words that in Greek are translated into the English world for the word world. So if you want to go just to John, we have three usages. I'm looking through all of the... Yeah, okay. And I found every single use. And you asked about the Gospel of John, right? You want me to go over that? Or
right.
Yeah. Okay, so John 1:10, he was in the world, that's the physical world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. So the planet, this earth, this system of what we are. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Now there, what it would mean is all the nations, because we know from John, or Luke 15:24, Jesus was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He was not sent to the whole world. In John 15:18,
That's right.
In John 15:18, if the world hates you, you know that it's hated me. And that means the secular world, not the rocks hate you and the wind hates you, but it's those people who are of the fallen system, fallen world.
Would that also include the rebellious Jews that were against him during the time his ministry was?
Yeah. If the world hates you, whoever hates you, the people in the world, that could be anybody. They hate you because they've hated him. It's like atheists, a lot of them hate Christ.
It makes good sense because he said he persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. And that's what the Jews did. As soon as Jesus died, that's what they did. They persecuted the apostles.
Yeah. Yep.
Yep.
That's right.
So, and I'm just amazed that the prayer of Jesus in John 17, he mentions the world in there a few times too, and I think the atheist guy ought to really read that prayer.
Yeah, well, God has to open up his heart and his nations, but I mean, and I'm reading something, his heart and his mind. So I've only quoted three of the occurrences in John, but I did an article on this, and the five main usages of the word world can mean, depending on the context, every individual, a limited area, all nations, the secular realm, and the planet Earth. All right?
Right.
Okay, buddy.
All right. I appreciate you.
Okay, man. God bless. All right. That was Jeff from Raleigh, North Carolina. Let's get over to Nathan from California. Hey, Nathan. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Matt. How's it going?
It's going, buddy.
It's going well.
By God's grace.
I want to know, sure. Matt, Joel's church is so humongous. Mm-hmm. And I've seen him on TV and documentaries that what?
Yeah.
Why doesn't any true apologetic just speak with him and
they have tried? What,
you know, to see that what he's saying is wrong.
Well, he has been rebuked. You can go on the web and just type up article after article. You can see that, you know, he's teaching many false things. He's an ear tickler. Absolutely. And I've been to his church. I went there once, and you know, it was great. It felt good. His wife did some preaching. He got up there and talked. It's wonderful. Great experience. It's just positive feelings. He doesn't preach the gospel. He doesn't preach that you're a sinner in need of redemption. And I remember a prayer he said once. He goes, if you want to be a Christian, just say this prayer. Jesus, come into my heart. Be Lord of my life. If you pray this prayer, welcome to the family of God. Now you see, that is a false gospel he's preaching right there. It's a false gospel. And so,
massively,
yeah. So he had said, I heard him, I watched him on TV once. He didn't know if Mormons were Christians or not. No, they're not. You know, God, they teach God came from another planet, and you can become gods of your own planet and things like that. That's not Christian. And so he teaches positive confession, and he's a very, 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 very dangerous person because he's leading so many
astray. If you and I can tell that is what he teaches is wrong, and mm-hmm. like the faith movement, mm-hmm. why is there so many people in this church? Like, do they have no light in their brain, or no offense?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes. Now, for false Christs and false prophets will arise and will show great signs and wonders as to mislead, if possible, even the elect. So the elect can't be misled because they have the Spirit of God in them. But you got to understand, in 1 Timothy 4, but in the Spirit explicitly says, in the latter times, some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons by means of the hypocrisy of liars, etc., etc. So you got to understand that this is prophesied in Scripture, this failure, this apostasy. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4, you can go to 1 Timothy 4 and 2 Timothy 4, all right, verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they'll accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires. That's exactly what's happening with Joel Osteen's people. They're not...
Not and, just that. It is like the whole world is happening that
absolutely,
way, too.
Absolutely. We have false teachers out there all over the place. And one of the few things that needs to be done and is not done by a lot of teachers on the radio and TV is to name names. And I'll name names. Joel Osteen's a dangerous false teacher. So is Joyce Myers. She's a dangerous teacher.
All of the people on Trinity Broadcasting System, like they are all...
Well, I don't know about all because I haven't seen who's there. But I can tell you about Joyce Myers. I've done extensive research on her, and she's taught definitely false gospels. False gospel even said that if you don't believe what she says about the gospel, which is a false gospel, you can't even be a Christian, and that she gets revelation from knowledge from God, and it's okay to be called little gods, and she doesn't even sin anymore. I mean, just it's like what? And so there's so many.
It's like being a Mormon.
Well,
in a way, you know.
But look, I'm just telling you, man, there's a lot of false teachers out there. And the only way to know what the truth is to study the Word of God. And, you know, one of the things people tell me is that I upset them when they listen to me. They don't like what I say. And this is why I quote scriptures. I say, here's the verse. Go check it out for yourself. Go see if what I'm saying is true. There have been so many people who've told me, they said, look, man, I heard you. I thought you were arrogant. I thought you were prideful. I thought you were just ridiculous. But you kept quoting the verses. I kept checking them and finding out that that's what it says. And I say, and it's not an issue of arrogance, because I want people to understand something. Arrogance is when you deny the Word of God and you say what is true. That's arrogance. It's not arrogant to say, this is what the Word of God says, and you need to believe it. That's humility before God. And so what we have to do as Christians is be humble and say, what does the Word of God say? We need to study the Word and let it guide us and let it teach us. And so what
that
we have
so
here,
true.
We have, oh, it, but it is true. But people don't want to do the homework of heavy lifting. Instead, they'll go to a church like Joel Osteen's church, and I've been there. and you walk in feeling good, and you walk out feeling good. All the way to hell.
But that's like, just like, no offense, but that's like just like going to a nightclub.
Yeah,
you know what
feel
I mean?
Good. Yeah.
Yeah, if you like it, that's where you... But the word, you have, for me, is like, read the word, the Bible, and read what you understand. Yeah, exactly. Know the truth first before you listen to a wrong person.
Amen. Study the word of God, and we're all responsible for studying it. And you can't say, well, I went to Joel Osteen's church because he sounded like a great teacher. I didn't know he was teaching a false gospel. So can I go into heaven now, God? Nope. All right. The blind lead the blind.
That is so correct.
That's
that
right.
So correct.
Yeah, when the blind lead the blind, both fall into the pit and perish. And unfortunately, that's what it is. And I got to just tell people, that's what it says. Okay?
Exactly.
God, all right, man.
Well, you're always in my prayers, and please keep me in prayers also.
Well, okay.
Yeah. Life's not perfect, but...
All right, man. Well, tell me, let me get the next caller before the end of the show here, okay, buddy? All right.
Okay, thank you.
All right, God bless, man. All right, that was Nathan. Make sure I hang up with the right person. Let's get to Nick from Wisconsin. Hey, Nick, welcome to the show.
Hey, Matt. Thanks for your ministry.
Praise God, man.
I had a question kind of on the point of your last caller. I've done some witnessing in the past year and a half to Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses, and it was actually some of your videos online doing some evangelism that's really spurred me on. And I've done a lot of study, and I've actually gotten kicked out of a Jehovah's Witness church, their Kingdom Hall, for asking questions about Jesus, and it's pretty interesting. And they asked me to leave. But I want to get your opinion on what should the church and pastors these days be doing? Because the more I learn, the more it breaks my heart, and the more apathy I see in literal churches to these false gospels.
Well, you see, I think that there might be, in some churches, the pastor's main concern of filling the seats and just babysitting the Christians, and that if he were to start preaching the power of the gospel and the cost of discipleship, that the people might leave and go to another church where their ears can be tickled and their ears can be comforted, as they sit in cushy situations. And this is not what we should be doing. You should call back, because that to me is a serious thing that needs to be discussed. Call back tomorrow, man.
Yeah, we'll to talk about that. Thanks.
All right. That's Nick from Wisconsin, folks. I know. I say things like that, don't I? Well, is it true or is it not true? Look in the scriptures and find out. May the Lord bless you by his grace. Be back on the earth tomorrow. We'll talk to you then. See you later.